Welcome to Sermons by Brad Tuttle. We are so glad you decided to join us today. We know you're going to be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by this powerful sermon. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Sermons by Brad Tuttle. As I talked about in our last sermon, Armored Up Part 2, we had a little bit of a glitch a couple Sundays ago and did not get Part 2 and what we're going to do today, Part 3, recorded during the sermon time. So I know how important this is. I wanted to make sure that I at least got these up, so I podcasted part two, and we're going to do the same with part three. So I want to make sure it's just really important to me, and I know to the Lord who's driving me to do this, the Holy Spirit, to get this in you, because you know we're going into a new year. There's maybe people out there who have gone through tough times this past year. There's been a lot of spiritual battles. And it's just, we need to understand how we achieve victory. We need to understand as believers that not only can we have the victory, but that we need to walk in the victory. Armored Up. So this is going to be Armored Up Part 3. Armored Up Part 1, you need to listen to that because it talks about the first three pieces of armor. I don't want to go into those on this and take up that time, but you need to listen to Armored Up Part 1. Talks about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel shoes of peace. Armored Up Part 2 talked about the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. You really need to listen to that because they all connect together. The armor that Paul described in Ephesians chapter 6, it works as a unit. So none of the pieces can be missing to enable you to effectively fight this battle. So we are going to go into and start in verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 6 and talk about the last main aspect, and then we're going to talk about prayer as well, which is kind of the foundation for all of it. So let me go into verse 17, and we're going to be talking about the sword of the Spirit. And again, this is so vital, and I made sure I stopped it on part two to leave the sword of the Spirit kind of by itself, because this is your offensive weapon, and this is something that knowing how to use the sword of the Spirit is going to equip you to be able to be an effective soldier for the kingdom of God. You're going to know how to wage war against your enemy, the enemy of your soul, who tries to get you off balance, who tries to get you discouraged, who tries to fill you full of doubt and fear, those types of things. So we need to know how to wield our sword properly. So verse 17 says, and take the sword, or it says, and the sword, but it's implied there, and take the sword of the Spirit. As we took the helmet of salvation and as we picked up the shield of faith, we take the sword of the Spirit. And again, like I mentioned in the first three pieces of armor are on you at your conversion: truth, breastplate of righteousness, and peace with God, like gospel shoes that keep you steadied and solid in your battle. But these three we have to take up, pick up. We see these words. So we take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So Paul's describing the Word of God as a sword. And remember, he's looking at this as the weaponry of a soldier and in his time. And if anyone knew what a soldier in his time would be wearing, it was Paul, who ended up being shackled to soldiers for years at a time as part of his so-called persecution punishment. And so if anybody observed over and over again what a soldier wore. So he took this picture of the soldier's armor and applied it to our spiritual armor that we use, again, against our enemy. So, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's the Bible, and it's all of the Bible. A commentator made this quote, and it goes like this: the proper use of our sword requires training, practice, practice, and more practice if we are to be effective for our Lord. The idea in this sword of the Spirit is that the Spirit provides this sword for you, and that sword is the Word of God. And hopefully you're already seeing why we need to know and be in the Word of God. It is an offensive weapon. And it's important to note that Paul doesn't, in the Greek, Paul doesn't use a word for sword that referred to the large broadsword, that bigger, longer sword you've probably seen in movies that some wore in battle. And the Greek word for sword he uses does not picture it as a spear, which would have been a normal offensive weapon for a Roman soldier. Rather than that, Paul employs this Greek word, a term that refers to this short, two-edged sword that fit into the Roman soldier's belt or that hung at his waist. This is a weapon that was specifically designed and carried for attack and defense in close quarter battle. In other words, when the assault drew near, this is the weapon that the soldier drew out and thrusted into his enemy in close quarter combat. So, and make no mistake, our attacker, the Satan, is not attacking us at a distance. He's close, and we need this sword, this two-edged sword, as a weapon to thrust at him and to do the work that needs to be done to keep him from affecting our lives. Word here, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The word here is the Greek word rhema, from the word reho, to speak or to say, speak or utter definite words. Rhema speaks of a specific statement. So the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word or the rhema of God. Rhema means a specific saying of God, a passage or a verse that has special application to an immediate situation. So let me repeat that. It's really good to get that in you. Rhema means, in other words, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's the rhema word of God, means it's a specific saying of God, a passage or a verse that has special application to an immediate situation. And as I'm going to say all throughout this, in other words, when you're dealing with fear, when you're dealing with something that's bringing fear in your life, you get a fear scripture and you start thrusting that at your enemy as he's trying to launch fear at you and bring fear to you. You're now going to be on the offensive. You have everything else, a shield of faith that's blocking things, the helmet of salvation's got you thinking right, but now the sword is what you're going to use to fight offensively. And when he thrusts at you with fear, you're going to thrust back at him with this sharp, two-edged sword, the Word of God, with a specific passage, a specific verse that has a specific application to your immediate situation. And your immediate situation is you're dealing with fear or you're dealing with worry. Get out scripture verses that deal directly with worry and thrust those back at him as he tries to thrust at you with worry. As if he's somebody right now, maybe you're struggling with, how, you know, is God going to be able to provide? Am I going to make it financially? He's trying to bring this, maybe this aspect of doubt in your mind for that God can provide for you. Well, you thrust that back at him, just like he did, just like Jesus did. The devil tried to make Jesus think that God the Father wasn't going to be providing enough food for him, so he wanted him to deal with it on his own, but Jesus thrust back at him with the Word of God. Man of God does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He thrust back at the devil with the Word of God, and if Jesus used it, man, I'll tell you something, we better be using it. It implies that the use of the Word of God is applied to a specific experience in our lives, so we use that specific saying of God, that specific rhema word of God, that specific passage or verse that has a special application to our immediate situation. And just like this small dagger is applied with skill and precision to a vital area of the body, we then must use the word carefully and expertly, applying specific principles from it to every situation that we face. In other words, we can study the Word of God as an overall, in an overall way. We study books of the Bible and we go through our systematic theology study or however you choose to study the Word of God. But we're talking now about using specific sayings, specific passages or verses that have a specific application to your immediate situation. That's the rhema aspect of it. When you're using it for a specific situation you're dealing with, that's why it's important for you to begin to memorize the Word of God. That's why it's important for you to begin to write down verses for whatever you're dealing with right now. And so you're going into the new year when something, when the devil tries to thrust something at you, you're going to get a verse for it. And if you don't have it memorized yet, just read it and use it as a weapon and speak it back to him in Jesus' name as the weapon that it is in your hands, empowered and backed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we need to ask ourselves, how's my skill with the spiritual sword? Do I have an understanding of Scripture and know how to apply it with precision? Listen, if you learn how to use the Word of God properly, it's going to be the incredible effective weapon that you're going to be able to use for any challenge that comes against your life. Like a lot of you probably know, here's the problem though. When something comes along, what do? We forget about the Word of God. When worry hits us, gets us off balance, or doubt or discouragement, we sit in this state. It's like being on a Bozu ball, trying to stand still on those half balls that you stand at the gym. Well, get on one of those and you're just kind of going back and forth until you finally get it. You've been on it long enough, you realize you can stand stable, but you're constantly unbalanced. And that's the way he tries to get us. He tries to cause us to be imbalanced. So he tries to get us in fear and discouragement. And what we do many times, much too much, is we allow ourselves to stay too long in fear, too long in discouragement, too long in doubt, and we're not using the sword. He does everything he can to get us from picking up the Word of God and using it against him. But now you're going to be filled with the understanding of what you need to do to be effective in your battle and to win your battle and to not stay in discouragement and doubt and fear, anxiety and worry. So this is the great weapon placed in the hands of the believer, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, the rhema word for a specific immediate situation going on in your life. It's applied to a specific experience that you may be going through now or you're going to go through in the future. And sometimes when we're reading, think about this. Sometimes when you're reading, have you ever done this? When you're reading a passage of Scripture and then the words you're reading, they just seem to suddenly come alive. They almost seem like they're taking on flesh and bones and they just leap off the page at you. Maybe you've experienced this before. Maybe you've experienced this before in some moment of maybe you've been tempted over some situation or something or maybe doubt when you were attacked by what Paul calls, our flaming arrows we talked about. And then all of a sudden, you immediately have this passage of Scripture flash to your mind that supplies the answer. That passage of Scripture is God's rhema for you for that specific situation you're going through. God, the Holy Spirit, has just given you that. This is why, y'all, it is so important to have an arsenal in your mind memorized. This is why it's important, because if you don't have your little piece of paper with you, or then wherever you are, when that thing tries to come against you, you have down in you this Scripture memorized, or Scriptures memorized to help you fight and wage war against the enemy. And remember, the Bible says we resist him and he will flee from us. Jesus resisted him with the word, and it says the devil fled from him. We resist him with the Word of God, shield of faith, standing firm in the truth, with the righteousness of Christ on us, peace with God, like shoes that keep us stable, with a helmet of salvation, standing in the battle, secure in who we are in Christ, saved and born again, with a saved mind. We have the shield of faith that's fighting and that's dealing with all the flaming arrows. And now we have the sword where we now begin to thrust back at the enemy, and we now go on the offensive. That's God's rhema word that we use for these specific situations and specific experiences that we're dealing with, that we have to directly attack. Again, just like you would, our soldier would use that small sword to pierce a body in a specific location, that's what we need to do, is thrust that word of God at him in this specific situation we are going through. The rhema word of God in our life, again, it's called the sword of the Spirit, because it's not only originated by the Spirit as the author of the word, but it's also recalled to our mind by the Spirit and made powerful by him in our life. The rhema word of God, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, it is empowered. When we use that specific word, that specific scripture and passage in that specific situation, that is empowered and backed up by the power of the Holy Spirit, who's the author of the word and who's the one that puts the power behind it, in Jesus' name. And man, think about that. Think about how that should now enable you and encourage you if you're going through something now or you're going to be going through something in the future. It is the Holy Spirit specific. It is the specific, well-chosen answer to the attack of the devil. That is God's rhema word for that situation that you're going through. And just like a swordsman with a trusty blade in his hand, the Spirit brings the flashing, sharp-edged, highly polished word to our minds so that we parry the sword thrust of the devil. So as he thrusts at us with fear, doubt, worry, we thrust back with something much more powerful, and that is the Spirit-empowered word of God, that rhema word for that immediate situation that we are dealing with. And may I say this emphatically, that to use the sword of the Spirit, we must regard, you've got to look at the whole word of God as and be confident in its inspiration and its inerrancy. It is God's inspired word. There's no mistakes in it. And whatever and wherever that verse is or passage of scripture that you need, it is God's inspired word to be used in that situation that you are going through. And I'll say this again. This is the great weapon placed in the hands of a believer, the word of God, God's rhema word for you for that situation you're going through. And think about this. Think about a soldier. Think about a gladiator. He's in training. He's practicing his sword thrust, and he's moved, and he's practicing his positions. Well, all of that practice is for a purpose, because he has to practice them ahead of time. And now, if he's a superior fighter and he has a great fighting instinct, at the time of the battle, he's going to be able to instantly recall which thrust, which position suits the precise moment. That's the way we need to be able to handle the Word of God correctly, have it memorized, be ready, and use it. And we practice and practice and practice with it. And then all of a sudden, when that time comes, man, it comes out of us, and we thrust him with the Word of God. You thrust him with a doubt scripture, with a fear scripture, with a discouragement scripture. You thrust those back at him in Jesus' name, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And man, I'm telling you, the victory will come. Hebrews 4:12 says this about the Word of God: for the Word of God is living. See, that's it. It's living. It's not a dead, archaic book of simple book of history. It's a living and active thing. Living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. The apostle, he is emphasizing here the precision that comes by knowledge and understanding of specific truths in the word of God. This is why we have to read our Bible regularly. We have to learn to memorize Scripture. We need to learn to hide it in our heart, as David said, and begin to quote it with determined insistence. Listen, we can remember, people can remember entire songs that they've only heard a couple times and they end up knowing all the words, that and that literally for the most part is not a living and active thing that's going to be able to be used in your life to do something to wage war against the enemy, but the Word of God is. So if we can memorize the songs from the Flintstones and the Jetsons, believe me, we should be able to have the desire and drive to memorize the Word of God, which is life to us. It is our weapon. It's what enables us to live in the victory. We have the potential to always be victorious if we do what we're supposed to do, to have on the whole armor of God. And one of those is to pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is that rhema word for that specific situation that you're going through. You use that specific, a particular passage or verse to wage war against that specific situation that the enemy is using against your life. Let me read you a quote. It says this, quote, "The weapon which our Christ wields in battle is the Christians to employ. It is this weapon that he places in our hands so that we might persevere and progress in this hostile world. Stand firm," Paul says over and over. And the Christian and the church do so by standing on his word. It is a short sword. We jab with it and make progress. We parry with it and persevere. We assault and we protect with this sword. It is the chief means by which we stand in this world, the chief means by which we persevere, though assaulted, progress, though opposed, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You're going to walk into 2017 and you are going to have a new understanding, or maybe you already know this and you just needed to be reignited to this understanding. Listen, we all go through things. We are all attacked by things. We all have specific areas of our life that the devil knows exactly where to try to attack us and bring us fear and doubt, discouragement, whatever it is, to get us off balance. And when he gets us off balance, we become ineffective for the kingdom. We lose our joy. We lose our peace. And we walk in this sense of chaos, so to speak, and dysfunction in our lives when we should be functioning, well-balanced men and women of God. He's good at getting us unbalanced. But you know what? We're not going to let him do that to us anymore, because we're going to be quick to get the sword ready. That's why we got to have it on. A lot of times I think some of us, we get up in the morning, we leave it by the bed, and we go out on our day, and everything hits us from work to people. And you know, he'll use people as weapons against you to say things to you, to treat you a certain way, and that makes you think something. Man, he's good at what he does, and we left our sword back home, so to speak, and now we don't have it with us. Well, think about it. You need to carry that rhema word, that sword of the Spirit with you all the time, and you do that by having scripture verses memorized in your heart that you can now use to thrust back at the enemy when he thrusts these fiery darts at your life. You now have something that you are on the offensive with. Isn't that powerful? Praise God. That's why I needed to do this. That's why, even though we had a technical glitch and didn't have it recorded in the actual sermon time, I knew I needed to get this down so that you could hear it and so it could literally affect your life, because if it affects my life, I know it affects your life. And so we need to make sure, again, for that specific, the rhema word of God, it is that specific passage or scripture or verse that God gives you, that the Holy Spirit has given to you to use for that specific experience that you are going through right now. Whatever attack is coming against you, use that specific word of God, that specific verse, that rhema word to attack back. And guess what? You will. Jesus got the victory, and you're going to get the victory too. Right now, you're going to use it right now. When you get done listening to this, you're going to use it, and you're going to find the victory. And you're going to walk into 2017 victorious, and you're going to live in 2017 encouraged and victorious. Amen? Well, lastly, let's go into verse 18, because I think we need to touch on this real quick. It says this, verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit. So he's talking about the armor. Then he ends this section of the armor with praying at all times in the Spirit, almost like a capstone. Let me put a finality on this. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Listen, prayer and more prayer will add to the fighting qualities and more certain victories in your life. So while we are fighting, we always are praying. And if you don't have prayer as a foundation for your life, then you're in a losing situation. And anyway, you need to be a person of prayer. You need to be finding some time during the day, if it's the morning before you go to work or before you go to bed. I don't know, maybe you're so busy the only time you have is in the car on the way to work. You need to find time. If you got to get up early, if you got to get up 30 minutes early, if you got to get up an hour early, whatever you got to do to spend time with God in prayer. I don't have time to in this particular a sermon or podcast to tell you, talk to you about how to pray or this or that. We can do that in something else. I think we've even talked about that in a podcast, one of our Brad Tuttle Ministries podcasts. But you need to be a person of prayer. Praying, it says, all the time, at all times in the Spirit. So we need to have prayer. It is added to our, it adds to our fighting quality and our fighting ability. This passage, verse 18, serves as this further and final explanation of the manner in which the command to stand firm, therefore, is to be accomplished. It's going to be accomplished through prayer in the Spirit. Prayer in the Spirit and spiritual warfare go hand in hand. You've got to be, it's just this whole aspect of the spiritual armor and fighting and waging war against the enemy, the foundation of it is your prayer life. So all the while that we are fighting with the belt of truth on, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, we're to be in prayer. Prayer is the literal. It is the very spiritual air that the soldier of Christ breathes. It is the all-pervasive strategy in which warfare is fought. We need to be praying at all times. Praying at all times in the Spirit. One commentator said, for true prayer is spiritual. And it is not true prayer unless by the Holy Spirit the heart is filled with heavenward longings and aspirations, changing our prayer from cold form to heartfelt realities. So we pray at all times, in other words, in every season and at every opportunity. And when God's Spirit reveals to us an opportunity for prayer, we need to seize the moment and pray. Be always in prayer. And we pray in the Spirit. What does that mean to pray in the Spirit? It simply means praying in the sphere of the of influence of the Holy Spirit. We are led by the Spirit. We're under the influence of the Spirit, and we're praying under the influence of the Holy Spirit, within the sphere of influence of the Holy Spirit. Listen, if we are continually in a state of resisting the Spirit, grieving the Spirit, quenching the Spirit, or lying to the Holy Spirit, no, we shouldn't be surprised that we seldom are stimulated to pray at a moment's notice. But if we're living, we're supposed to be living right, being obedient, living holy as unto the Lord, and being in this influence of the Spirit, man, we will be ready. I mean, when no matter where we are out during our day, He's going to prompt us, pray now, pray now, pray now. And we need to be able to hear that and be in tune with that and begin to pray, led by the Spirit. The expositor's Greek Testament writes this: this great requirement of standing ready for the combat can be made good only when prayer, constant, earnest, spiritual prayer, is added to the careful equipment with all the parts of the array. In other words, with all the rest of the weaponry that you have on you. Let me read it again. This great requirement of standing ready for the combat can be made good only when prayer, constant, earnest, spiritual prayer, is added to the careful equipment with all the parts of the array. And then it goes on to say, to that end, keep alert. In other words, be continually on standby alert as you pray. Keep your spiritual eyes open for the enemy, because he can try to come and assault you at any time. You are always, I tell my wife when she goes out and walks about, we live in an evil world, man. I know she's protected. I know, you know, God's grace is with her, but she goes out into an evil world. And when she's not with me, I say, you know what? Have situational awareness. Make sure you're not walking with your headphones on and looking at your phone when you're going from the store to your car in the parking lot and situations like that. Be aware of what is around you. Look around, look around. Be aware, let your eyes scan, making sure that there's nothing around there that could hurt you or harm you. What same way we keep alert, we keep our eyes open because the enemy is going to try to assault us at any time of the day or the night. Amen. Keep alert. It's a Greek word that means literally without sleep. Isn't that interesting? Paul used a Greek word that literally means without sleep. And the present tense of that Greek verb calls this for this to be the believer's lifestyle, that we are supposed to be constantly alert, constantly aware of the enemy. And we do this through prayer. We're praying, staying constantly on alert for the enemy and anything he could try to do in our lives. Pastor John MacArthur, he writes this about this word used in the Greek for keep alert. He says, it refers to staying awake or maintaining a watchful sensitivity. This is strategic in prayer to enable one to know what to pray at the right time and not be asleep at the switch. The person praying is to keep this alert vigil with all perseverance, a quality of steadfast endurance, literally a holding fast to. And we're supposed to that end, keep alert. And then it says, with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. With all perseverance means to continue to do something with intense effort, with the possible implication of doing so despite difficulties. In other words, it pictures one's devotion to the task, keeping on it, persisting in it, being earnest towards it, and in this case, praying for the needs of all the saints. So isn't this interesting how he puts the armor and he talks about, excuse me, we should be praying, but then he adds at the end, and make sure that we are praying for the needs of all the saints. It describes this continuing, intense effort, a steadfast attention toward praying for the needs of the other saints of God, you know, in your church, directly connected to you, or around the world. That word supplication or petition, it's the Greek word desis. It refers to an urgent, it refers to urgent requests or appeals to meet a need and are exclusively addressed to God. So it's telling us, and with all the other things, make sure you're praying earnestly. Make sure you are having a steadfast attention toward praying for the needs of all the other saints. I know people that are in our church and people that I know that are in the body of Christ who have needs right now. Well, we pray for those needs. We keep alert in that. We make sure that we are laying out urgent requests and appeals to meet their needs. And we address them to God, obviously. So we pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And we keep alert with all perseverance or intense effort praying for the needs of all the saints. Again, we pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, and we keep alert with all perseverance, intense effort praying for the needs of all the saints. So, y'all, there you have a concise understanding of the armor. And I could go probably on and on about this, but we've covered it in three parts: armored up part one, armored up part two, and now armored up part three. So we understand a lot more about the armor than we did before. And again, maybe you already have gone through this and studied these before, and maybe you just needed to be reignited in your understanding of what is available to you. So now we need to stay alert in the battle. Now we need to understand that Satan is on the attack against us, but we need to know that we have been supplied all the tools we need to fight from victory, always standing on victory ground. So as I leave you today, I leave you with this picture. You are not fighting for victory. You are fighting from victory, for the victory has already been won for you. The devil is not the victor. Jesus is the victor. You're in Christ, suited and armored up in Christ, positioned to fight effectively, and now with a sword in your hand thrusting back, you are going to always, in 2017, you are going to always be standing on victory ground, Say it. Say, I'm going to always be standing on victory ground in 2017. You can, I can. As much as I preach this to you, I preach it to me. I can always be on victory ground. I know I am because I'm in Christ, I'm saved, but in my daily day, walking with victory in my life, not discouraged, not beat down, but victorious, filled with joy, filled with strength, because I am armored up properly and I am fighting effectively. Amen. So I hope this has helped you. I hope this has been a blessing to you. It was so important for me to get it down. So make sure you go back over these. If you started with this one, go back to part one, part two, part three. And if you got to send these to somebody, get them to them if they need to hear these. And, you know, let me know if they've helped you or they've blessed you in any way. So thank you for being with me today. God bless you and stand on victory ground. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us at Sermons by Brad Tuttle. We pray this sermon blessed you, encouraged you, inspired you, and challenged you in your walk with Christ. Thank you for being with us, and come back and visit us anytime. God bless you.